I want you to know that God is interested in every life. Every soul is important to God. Every life is valuable in His eyes, including you. And there is a definite reason you were created. There is a reason you were created. So by the special grace of God, the matter before us is the matter of life on a mission. Life on a mission. Life on a mission. Yesterday, in the first part of this series rather, I began to show to us what it means to live, what life is. Thank God for science, thank God for philosophy. But in that discussion, I made it so plain to us that life cannot be defined outside the idea of the originator. Attempting to define life outside of the idea of the creator himself will end you in struggles. The reason why there will be chaos is because men attempt to define life and leave God out of it. I also made you to understand that the reason God created man is the same reason for which He made the earth to accomplish His own design. So man is a definite creator of a creature of a purposeful God. Man is a definite creature of a purposeful God. God of purpose. God is a God of purpose. He makes things to do the biddings which is. Glory to God. And also went on to make us know that everyone created by God and born into this world is made for a purpose. About life on a mission, we are talking about a life that has been established on three foundations. That was the later part of discussion yesterday. We are talking about life that has been laid on three solid foundation. I said, if God is the creator of man, and if He created the earth to accomplish His own purpose, His own intent, any man that must live a fulfilling life must lay the foundation of his living on these three things. Number one, I said, any life that will be lived mission-wise, every life that will be lived with the consciousness of God's design, with the consciousness of God's intent, must be established on the number one foundation, which is the foundation of identity. Any life that must be profiting, any life that must be in alignment, must be a life that has been laid on identity. Identity here talks about who you are. Identity talks about who you are. And the second foundation on which a life on a mission must be laid is the foundation of purpose. Foundation of purpose. It's not enough to know who you are. It is also important to know why you exist. life on a mission is laid on the foundation of purpose. And then the third foundation on which life on a mission must be laid is timing. Time and season. Timing. What I'm trying to say here is this. Everything that would happen on earth that will involve you as an individual, that will profit God, that will be in alignment, that will be fulfilling, must be laid on these three premises. It's a life that understands who he is. Every individual that will amount to something good in the sight of God, individual that have understood identity. And then I said number two is what? Purpose. Number three is timing. So can we say them together? Identity, purpose, and timing. And yesterday we began to pray along that line. So today we want to continue looking at identity. Identity. Turn your Bible quickly to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 19. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. John chapter 1, verse 19. Now, this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" Verse 20. He confessed and did not deny. But he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they ask him then, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? That we may give answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" I like his response. Verse 23. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." Let's turn our Bible to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. We'll start reading from verse 13. Matthew 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. Verse 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Verse 2. Very profound. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Few verses ago, a voice came and said, this is my son, my beloved son, in whom I well pleased. Not too long, few verses away, the tempter came, turning the same statement the other way around. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. Our last verse is Matthew 16, verse 13. I want to take note of these verses. Matthew 16. We're going to start reading from verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Please take note of this. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 13. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Verse 16. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Please take note of this. He was not there when Jesus was being baptized. But read the next verse. Bible said, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Can you just bow your head briefly? Thank you, Father, for your word. We receive the ministry of your word. We understand that even though the flowers will fade and the grass withers, your word abides forever. So we receive your word this day with all simplicity and meekness. We ask that your word will give understanding to our heart. We ask that your word will bring illumination to our clarity. We ask that your word will bring transformation to our minds. Your word will bring activation and edifications in our spirit. We rebuke every misunderstanding and misrepresentation. We ask that your word will flow forth with utterance. Let everyone that will hear the sound of this teaching be quickened, be edified, and more than anything else, be aligned. Thank you, Father, in advance for testimonies that will come through the ministry of your word. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Life on a Mission, Part 2. Allow me to begin by saying, the word mission means an assigned task. An assigned task. The word mission means an assigned task. It is what someone has accepted as his responsibility. Mission means what someone has accepted as his responsibility. When you're talking about mission, the first thing you're talking about here, you're talking about a task. And not just any task, but a task that has been assigned. Someone gave it to you. And then the next thing about the word mission you must get to embrace is that mission is something that someone has taken full responsibility of. Something that you believe that when someone comes and asks, why did this thing go wrong? You'll be able to own up and say it went wrong for so reason. It means that you have what? You have taken full responsibility of it. In a bid to take full responsibility of the life you have now. I like a statement that Bishop T.D. Jakes made in one of his messages I listened to some time ago. And I love that statement so much. He said, what will you do with the life you have left? What would you do with the life you have left? No, it's very, very easy for us to talk about the years we may have wasted. It's very, very easy for us to begin to think, oh, I wish I got saved some years ago. I wish I knew these things while I was still in university, secondary school, or while I was still in university. Isn't it? It's very, very possible for people to regret yesterday. But it is not enough for you to regret yesterday. The question you need to ask yourself is the life you have now, what are you going to do with it? An answer to that question is what bets the desire for you to now know what life is all about. And I've established to us that life is created by God for His purpose. So now see this. The reason why we are men on a mission is because we have taken up a responsibility from our God. Glory to God. We have taken a mandate. We have received a mandate from our God. So it confers on us a missionary status. Praise God. Being born again means that you have taken up a course. So when we are talking about life on a mission, we are talking about life that has been laid on the foundation of, number one, identity. Knowing who you are is the first requirement to be in alignment. I'll say that again. Knowing who you are is the first requirement to be in alignment. If at any point in time you have applied for a job, you will realize that one of the things they do is to state the vacant position. And then they begin to list out certain qualities that whoever we fill the position must have. Now, do you know what they are trying to do? They are trying to set you up on an assignment. Meaning that the day we employ you, you are going to be carrying out an assignment. So it means that before they will fill a space in the office, they must first of all define who will what fill it. And that space became necessary as a result of a task that needs to be carried out. For example, you will never need a secretary until you open an office. So meaning that for the person to be able to function in your organization, he or she must first know that he is a what? He's a secretary. You don't apply and say, we need a secretary, and then somebody comes and says, he's a fashionista. No. You must first of all know the person. That's why one of the first questions they ask in interview is, can we meet you? Who are you? Because there is no way you will be able to carry out the responsibility we want if you don't know who you are and if we are ignorant of who you are. So I'll say that again. Outside of identity, there can never be alignment. Not until identity is discovered, alignment can never be activated. The question of who you are becomes important in the journey of life's mission. Glory to God. Identity. I want you to know this, that you will never struggle to fulfill purpose if identity is discovered. Identity simply means who you really are. Identity simply means who you really are. Your ideal personality and makeup. That's what identity means. But we are talking about identity. We are talking about your essential self. Please follow me now. Your what? Your essential self. Who are you? The verses of scriptures we read are very profound to show to you the importance of identity in alignment. Starting with John, they would have given him a name that isn't his name. Note this. The reason why people treat you the way they do is not because they just decided to treat you that way. It's as a result of perhaps two reasons, but one of those reasons concerns you more. Is a reason that is tied to who you say you what you are. The moment you come and say, "Oh, this is me. I am a minister," for example, there is a frame, an impression people begin to carry about you. So it goes to mean that the only time you can fulfill your assignment very well on earth is when you have settled the question of who am I? Your essential self. Knowing clearly who you are. And unfortunately, our world today has made so many ways by which humans are defined. So many people today have defined themselves wrongly. Many a times, we have defined ourselves by the things we have. People define themselves by the things they have. Oh, who are you? I am Stephen Enoko, the owner of Montessori Foundation School. You must know this. The reason why there are struggles in life, people are struggling, they are competing, they are comparing, they are in struggles, is because there is a way life has attempted to define who we are, and when we show up, we want to fit into that description. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a mold that life has already made. That if they ask you, who are you? There is a system in place that has tried to become the model for definition of identity. So when you are asked who you are quick to want to say you are a nobody, possibly because you don't have a school. So that's the reason why if, for example, you are in a meeting and people are introducing themselves, I am so-and-so, the CEO of so-and-so, I am so-and-so, the MD of so-and-so, and you are there. You will not be thinking, when they now cut to my turn, what will I say? After all, I don't have a company. So you realize that one of the reasons so many are out of joint, so many are in disalignment, so many have missed their purpose, is because they try to define themselves by the things they own. So quickly, Jesus now told us in Luke 12, verse 15, that you should beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he owns. So meaning, any attempt for you to define who you are by what you have is already wrong. Is flawed. He said, a man for one's life does not consist. Defining your life by your accomplishments is a flawed definition of life. So before you even talk about walking on the path of mission, please, it is important you sit down and settle the question of identity. When they came to John, John did not tell them anything. See how he defined himself. I like the way John the Baptist and Jesus defined themselves. Even Apostle Paul. John said, I am the voice of one. I am the voice. I am something that cannot be seen. He never took his identity from anything that can be seen. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. In other words, he simply said, I am a messenger. What an identity. The reason why it appears many of us have delved into pride, have dealt into self-attainment, self-sufficiency, is because we have unconsciously adopted the world's definition of who you are. And how does the world define us? The world defines us by our possessions. You go to Forbes, begin to read. They tell you, greatest men that ever lived, richest men that ever lived. And unfortunately, because we live in a media-hyped world, we live in a media-enhanced world, the media has a way it portrays people. So we want to define ourselves by those things that the media what portrays. So if you see the reason why there is so much depression, for example, in places like America, it's because they are media freak. You see a young girl that is just 15 years, watches a movie and sees what another young girl of 13 years did. She suddenly wants to what? Do it. Because the media has become a tool for wrong definition of identity. The reason why I'm saying this is because perhaps some of us need to take this weekend out to actually go and re-ask ourselves who we really are. Because the way you are living your life right now, it's becoming so glaring that you have defined your life by certificate. That is the reason why it hurts you, it grieves you when anything tries to stop that progress in your life. I've not said certificates is bad. But when all earth is done, nobody will ask, what is his highest degree? You heard of women like Mother Teresa. I have never asked which school did she graduate from. But what I know is that woman became a model in philanthropy. He helped generations that even till now, we still read about her. The world have attempted to use media to define us. The world has attempted to use material possessions to define us. One man came to Jesus one day and said, Jesus, tell my brother to share to me the properties. I think it was even in this verse. Maybe the 2-3 verses from here. Earlier verses. He said, to tell my brother to share my portion of the inheritance. And Jesus told him, who made me a wealth divider? That is not who I am. It is only understanding of who you are that will help you to set boundaries in your life. You will know who you are. There are some things people are talking about. It will not bother you because that's not you. It doesn't concern you. People define themselves by their positions. Others define themselves by their past. I like transformation. I like salvation. I like new creation. I like new birth. Because one thing new birth does is to tell me that my past is off record. Glory to God. Off record. Never attempt to define your life by your past. Never attempt to define who you are by even your background. The reason why they could not benefit from the ministry of Jesus was because they defined Jesus two ways. Number one, they defined Jesus as the son of Mary, and they defined Jesus as the son of Joseph the carpenter. But those things are not who he is. Please, let us be careful when people try to use our profession to define us. It is good for you to be a doctor. It is good for you to be an accountant. But please, I want to sound this to you, that if you are in Christ, that's not who you are. That's just your job. That's just your vocation. Others try to define themselves by the things they participate in, by their fellowships. So when people ask them, who are you? They say, it's me. I'm the president of so and so, that and that. If you know you are a man on a mission, why define yourself by just the channel? Why not define yourself by the content? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. In other words, I am a man on a what? On a mission. Another way people try to define themselves is by their successes. You see, we live in a very success-driven world. And unfortunately, the hardest word to understand is success. As a matter of fact, one of the things that drove me into discovering destiny was when I wanted to define success. While I was growing up, everyone said, you must be successful. Everywhere success. I was like, what really is success? And one of the words that has multiplicity of definition is success. There is no one way to define it. The reason is because life itself is beyond physical accomplishment. And that's why you can see someone build a very magnificent house, have a very successful career in that contest. And still, when you now lay that person on the scale of life itself, you realize that the person did not what? Achieve anything. So that's why, as believers, one of the things we must allow the new creation reality to define for us is what success what is. Because it is your understanding of what success is that will not determine how you, number one, will appreciate life and relate with people. So, refuse to define yourself by your successes. Successes are good, but that's not who you are. Does it mean that if you didn't succeed in that contest, it means you don't have an identity? For example, when you go and check the ministry of John the Baptist, they removed his head as birthday gift. That was after he had already spent some months or days in prison. And then somebody will now say, he did not succeed. Who told you he did not succeed? I am the voice of one. Without the recommendation of John, Jesus' ministry on earth wouldn't have been accepted. And you are telling me he was not successful? He lived in the wilderness. His raiment was what? The Bible said his raiment was defining John's raiment. Can't remember. Skin. He ate his food was locust and honey. That's living the life of a pauper. But do you know what? He's the first successful man in the New Testament. Because without John the Baptist, there wouldn't have been a receiving of Jesus' ministry. He knew his place. You can't fulfill destiny outside of identity. Do you know the reason why you are struggling to compete with others? It's because you don't even know who you are. John, as a matter of fact, the moment John tried to compare himself with Jesus, I think that was where he missed it. He began to doubt the calling of Jesus. Because every time you lack identity of who you really are, number one, you doubt yourself, and number two, you doubt people that are genuine. You can't determine who, the place of people in your life. Because as long as Jesus' ministry was concerned, a voice needed to go ahead. Do you get what I'm saying? So the moment Jesus showed up, the statement John made, he said, look at him. That's the man I was talking about. And the moment he did that, his ministry what? Ended. Because he had fulfilled his part of the agenda. It is important for us to know who we are. And we shouldn't allow the word definition of success to determine that. There are a few things I want to say here. If you don't understand your identity, like I said, it will make you to struggle by comparing yourself with others. Lack of clear identity is the reason why people are envious. Because if you check some of the reasons you envy others, if you check very well in the light of redemption, those same things, you have them in abundance. You have them. But the reason why you are envious is because you have not what? Discovered them. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So, one of the reasons why you must discover your identity is that lack of identity discovery will make you compare with others. And anyone that sets life in a comparison fashion becomes envious and jealous. You easily give yourself to envy. The root of envy and jealousy is comparison. Because you have already put yourself on a scale and you concluded that he's better than me. So you accepting that judgment of yourself means that you begin to jealous the person. You see him as your what? As your enemy. See, the day they started having problem with Saul was the day David killed Goliath. And the next thing they were saying was, Saul has slayed his 1,000, David has slayed his 10,000. And from that day, Saul's life went out of alignment. Because every time you receive the comparison of men, lacking your own understanding of who you are, you begin to live your life outwardly. That's what leads to things like people buying things they don't need with money they don't have. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you are trying to meet up the estimation of people. You are trying to live and adapt to the way people have framed you. So you do everything to maintain that status. Why do you think people live false life? I was watching a comedy series or a soap opera the other day, and you saw a young girl was just framing who is not, attributing what is not. This is my father's house, this is my father's car. I was just forming, and nothing she had. Because every time you lack identity of who you are, you lack the opportunity to be helped in life. I'll show you yesterday how Jesus lived, and everything he needed, he got them even without spending money on them. Because he understood who he was. A flawed identity will make you to live a flawed life. A flawed identity will make you to live a flawed life. Everything you will be doing, you will be doing it externally. You'll be doing it for people. The reason why many don't go far in ministry, forget it. Stop thinking that because somebody can preach very well, somebody can sing very well, somebody has crowd, it means the person has discovered himself. No. Some people do things simply because somebody has told them they cannot do it. I know what I'm talking about. I know of a young girl that made up her mind that she was going to do medicine, come what may, because somebody in her family said she cannot do medicine. And she tried it the first time. She took jammed her, and as it were, we always jam you. Because life will always ask you one question: who are you? Wrote several exams, she did not succeed. And thank God for connection. God connected her to me, and we began to pray, began to seek God for light. What is happening? Why is everywhere blocking? And then we set up on a prayer, and she had a vision. And in that vision, she saw where she made that statement. And she came to me and said, "Sir, there's something I want to tell you. That the reason why perhaps I want to do this course I'm doing, it's not really because that's who I am, or that's because what I really should do. Somebody told me that I can't do it. And I told the person, I can do it." That's pride. And life lived on the altar of pride will never fulfill the design of God. Because the life you have, by the time I show you how you will define that life, came from the altar of submission. So the greatest men are those that submit to the will of the Father. So I told her, go back to God and ask Him, "What do you want me to do?" Because hear this, the moment identity is discovered, it as stiff ways opens when their timing is right. You don't struggle when life, when you've known who you are. Because the moment you know who you are, the next thing that happens is that you begin to know why you exist. And the moment these three click themselves together, come on, you can't live in comparison. No way. You can't live in comparison. Because daily you know, this is who I am. I may not have this now, but if the path that God wants me to walk will require that I have it, He will provide it. That's what it means to live life on a what? On a mission. Glory to God. So inability for you to know who you really are will distract you from true living. You will not live well. You will live a false life. Inability to determine who you really are will make you to lack faith in God. Yes, that's the truth. Whenever a man lacks understanding of who he is, he will find it difficult to trust God. Do you know why? Everything you are and you will ever be is wrapped in who God is in Christ. So it is as you come to know who He is, you now begin to see who you are. And as you begin to see who you are, you now begin to trust. That's where you can make statements like Romans 8 verse 32. That if He could not withhold His Son, but freely give Him up for us, how much shall He not also give Him up, give all things? Faith begins to build. And that's the reason why every time God is set to do mighty things through an individual, the first thing He does to that individual is reveal Himself in that individual. Glory to God. Can you say it with me? I know who I am. I know who I am. Because I am born of God. Let's take it further now. Now, one of the reasons we want to know who we are is so that we might be able to fulfill the plan and purpose of God. So when you don't know who you are, you will not be able to carry out that plan. Allow me to also say this. Never allow your past to define you. It's very important. Never allow your past to define you. Never, never. It's a difficult thing, but please, never. I'm talking about your past failures, your past successes, your past achievements, whatever is in the past. Please, never. Because your destiny is not in your past. Never allow yesterday to define who you are. You must find who you are from the lens of who you are in Christ. Discovery your identity begins by discovery the one that gave you the life that you have. You see, earlier than this, I used to do a lot of seminars on how to discover your identity. And one of the things they always tell us is, what are your skills? What are your talents? What are your experiences? And all those things. But listen to me. In discovery of identity, those things are secondary in discovering who you are, I want you to look at the statement that Jesus made. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. So write this down. Knowing who you are is a revelation. I know they have told you that because you can sing, you are a singer. So the next time they ask you, who are you? You say, I am a singer. No, that's what you do. Who you are is caught to the continuity of the person that gave you life. As a matter of fact, defining who you are can be done by two means. Number one, you define who you are by your in Christ realities. Somebody say in Christ realities. It means you find your identity in who Christ is. That's the reason why God had to get you saved. Because it is only in giving you the spirit of his son that you can do the things of his son. The purpose of life is to carry out the purpose of who? Of God. So it means if the purpose of God is tied to Christ, this is what it now means. It means that everyone that will be coming out to carry out this purpose must have the life of Christ. So it means for you to know who you are is to find that in Christ. And that was what John used to define himself. He defined himself in Christ. Because the day you stopped defining yourself in Christ, that day you will live a disjointed life. Demas are forsaking us, for he loved the things of the world. That's in the scriptures. Reason why people will not go far in their life's mission is not because they get enticed along the way. Now, truly, they can get enticed. But one of the enticements of the devil was the temptation you saw in Jesus. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. Walk in the flesh. That's what I was trying to tell him. So the number one way to find out who you are is to find out who you are in Christ. The number two way to find out who you are is to find out your place in God's eternal plan and purpose. These are the two definitions of our identity. Read the fourth chapter of all Apostle Paul's writing. You know what I'm talking about. He did not say, I, Apostle Paul, the tent maker. No. I took time to read the first verse, 2-3 verses of the first chapter of all Apostle Paul's writing. And I took note of the consistency in how he introduced himself. I pray whoever is listening to me will go down and realize that there is no definition of existence outside Christ. There is no definition of existence outside God's plan and purpose. Everything fits themselves in there. The entire creature are working to accomplish the purpose of God. So it means everything that God created, including you, is to serve that cause. I, a bond servant, I, Apostle Paul, sent to be an apostle to the Gentile. I am apostle. He kept telling us two things you will see in his introduction. He will not take Christ away from the introduction, and he will not take his portion of God's eternal plan from his description. So, do you want to define yourself? You must define yourself from your in Christ realities. And I told you earlier, it is a revelation. Do you know why it appears that every day we are changing the view of who we are? It's because you will keep changing who you are until that day revelation will come. When I'm going to be teaching you the seasons of purpose, I will show to you the season called the season of realization. Apostle Paul made a statement one day. He said, God, who separated me from my mother's womb? But he did not know that one, that time when he killed the disciples. He not know that one. He wouldn't have made that statement when he was killing the disciples. So it goes to mean that you can get to age 30 before you will know who you really are. So that's why I told you, stop allowing your past to what? To define you. As a matter of fact, the best of you is even yet to unfold. How do I know? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says, we all with unveiled faces, we behold as in a cloud the glory of God, and we are changed into, we are transformed into the same image from what? From glory to glory, as by the Spirit of God. So you know what it means? It means that it is as much as you mature spiritually that you know who you truly are. It's a walk. Glory to God. And that's why the Bible makes us to understand that we renew our mind. So every time you sing that song, I know who I am. Please, let not your eye be going to your physical accomplishments. Because if they don't line up to God's eternal purpose and plan for your life, they are ephemeral. They are flimsy. They are mundane. Who are you? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I like the other one. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world. And then they now ask, who do you say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Go and read scriptures. Every time Jesus' person was questioned, his identity was questioned. One day, scripture told us that they picked stone and almost killed him simply because he told them his place in God's eternal plan. They looked at him. This guy is a liar. This guy is sick. How can you tell us that you are older than Abraham, our father, when we can see you? Listen to me. Your identity is not in anything that I can see. Stop trying to amount to something before people. Stop trying to amount to something before people. Stop trying to live your life to keep your place as the first boy. I have to get married quick because I am the first boy. I have to set a good example. Keep quiet. Sit down. That you came from a womb does not mean that you will die there. There is a purpose that God has for you. When Jesus got to the age of his assignment, he refused to be called the son of Joseph the carpenter. And everybody that called him that name could not benefit from his calling. Because beyond where he was born, there was a message that he carried. I am the Lamb of God that takes the sin of the world. You see, when you begin to define yourself in your in Christ realities, when you begin to define yourself in your place in God's eternal purpose and plan, you know, you start sounding too religious before man. And that's the reason why you will tell them like Jesus, I am not of this world. He told them one day when they were to take him to death, one of the disciples caught the ear of another man. He told him, keep that sword. He said, because if my kingdom was from this world, it will not be hard for me to give task to angels. Remember I told you, mission is task defined. You cannot engage the provisions of your life in Christ if you don't even know that you are a man in Christ. How do you lay hold on your eternal realities when you have not even accepted that you are eternal? I search out for my place in Christ. I hope I'm not standing too deep. Let me show you a few things. Stop using the terms of this world to define who you are. I sat down one day and I asked myself, I said, Steve Enoko, who are you? And I searched from the pages of scripture that I am a voice sounding the purpose and plan to my generation so that men will be equipped to manifest the nature of God. That's who I am. The day it dawned on me, I began to collapse every other thing in my life to pursue it. That's what we call life on a mission. You cannot know who you are and live below who you are. No way. You can't be telling us, I know who I am, and yet you don't know Christ. Sickness is coming now, is asking, who are you? Do you know everything that we go through in life is only asking us that question? Who are you? Who are you? You
You've just finished singing, I'm walking in power, walking in miracle. And then you are telling somebody, ah, you're not sure, say, I go die for this sickness. Now, so we go just die. That means your realities have not caught up with your lifestyle. You are still living a flawed life. You are still living in deception. Because you are trying to deny the fact that Christ actually gave you healing by his what? By his stripes. Because the moment it dawned on you that you are who you are in Christ, you cannot have access by faith with confidence. Because you now know that there is nothing that you see in Christ that you too cannot see in your life. It just lines up. The reason why we are still struggling to get people to live the life that God wants them to live is because some of them, deep down in their heart, they have defined themselves by their past. They have defined themselves by their position. So you see some of them struggling to have a post. Because they have been told that the only time people will listen to you is when you have an office. Go and read John the Baptist. John the Baptist was in the wilderness. Now, for inside wilderness, they take home, they listen to him. Because he knew that his purpose was to introduce Christ. So, do you know what that means? It means that Christ himself also knows that if he doesn't go and look for John the Baptist, his ministry will not enter into the next level. Do you know that's why you need to sit down as a minister? Stop looking around for people to come and be who you want them to be. The people that God have ordained to be part of your life, the day you became one of his, the day he gave you a mandate, the day he gave you a call, the day he gave you a task, he also gave people to you. Just patient. When the time is ripe, they will come. Go and read scriptures. John the Baptist was in the wilderness until he's showing forth. The same thing with Jesus. He was just there. Why do you think they called him the son of a carpenter? That was what he was doing before he got into his ministry. But the day he was anointed to do the work of the Father, he began to live in the consciousness of who he is. I pray for you. Whatever it is that has flawed your ideology about who you are, is stripped off in the name of Jesus. Say this with me. I am the object of God's affection. That's who you are. And another statement you can use to define yourself. I am the man that God loves. In Ephesians 1 verse 4, God created man to be the attention of his loveliness. Say it with me. I am the man loved by God. The reason why God created you is because he wanted a man to love. That's why I created you. That's the meaning of that statement. The reason we were created is to be the what? The attention of God's love. You know God is love, isn't it? You have been preaching God is love. Who will he show the love to? Dogs, trees, air, water. Listen, go and read scriptures. He finished created of all those things because he knew you were going to need it. Say it with me. I am the attention of God's love. I am the attention of God's love. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. Everything that God has done, he did them because of his love for man. So it is wrong for you to believe any other message aside the message of the love of God for you. The truth of it is this. When you take time to study scriptures and see all that God has done from Genesis up till now, you will see that there is only one thing that motivated him, and that is his love nature. Love is the reason. Look at what he said in that Matthew 3. He said, my beloved son. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So if you want to define yourself, can you say with me, I am the beloved of God. That's who you are. That's who you are. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read from verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons. Meaning that all that God is doing in Christ, he is doing for us. All that God is doing. He said, having predestined us to adoption as sons. So what God was saying that day when Jesus was baptized, it was not just Jesus he was talking about. He was talking about Stephen and Enoch. So when you ask me who I am, I will tell you, I am the beloved of God. That's where I get my identity from. That's where I get my identity from. And that's why anything I see in scripture that Christ had, I look out for it. Everything, including the assignment, including the purpose, in everything. Because what God was doing in Christ was a model to reveal who we really are. My identity is in Christ. I like the next verse, verse 6. That's where I'm going. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us. I like that word. He made us. So our acceptance is the making of God. And why are you looking down on yourself? No wonder Romans 8 now said there is now no condemnation. Glory to God. So I am the love portion of God. That's what I wrote. That's heavy. Say it with me. I am God's love portion. God is recklessly in love with you. God is recklessly in love with me. Everything that Jesus did on earth was to model the unfailingness of God's love. The Bible says in Lamentation 3 verse 22, he said the steadfastness of God never ceases. Listen to me, as God exists, he will not stop loving you. As long as God exists, as long as there is a God, there can never be a stop of love for you. There can never be. Everybody say it with me, I am the beloved of God. Attempting to find identity outside of these realities is setting yourself up for a life of frustration. Please, strip yourself of every identity you thought you had. Collapse it and embrace this reality. Please, I beg of you. This is the reality that some of us got that turned our life from where we were to where we are. And to still take us to where we are going. I read Ephesians 4 verse 13. I saw that verse in another light this morning. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13. Let me show you something from that verse. He said, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. We come to a what? A perfect man. Now what is it trying to tell you? That we come to a point where we see ourselves the exact way that God sees Christ. That's the purpose of spiritual work. To get to a point where we can see ourselves in the fullness of Christ. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2. Let's read verse 9. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. The Bible says, in him, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And see what verse 10 now says. He said, and you are. That's who you are. That's who I am. I strip every veil that is blocking me from seeing who I am. How can you fulfill a mission that will bring about the transformation of life and you lack understanding of who you are? The enemy will attack you daily. He will frustrate you. Jesus did not even start healing the sick before the enemy showed up. God made a statement in chapter 3 and then the enemy came in chapter 4 and said, if you are the Son of God. I say it again and I'll keep saying it. Everything we are going through in life is asking us that question. Who are you? And let me say this. And I know some of you know this. It was lack of identity that made Eve to eat the fruit. Because it was the same temptation that Jesus got that Eve also got. Did God say you should not eat? Satan will always use what God said. He knows everything that God has said. And that's the reason why. If you frame your life's identity outside what God has not said, you are up for the enemy's attack. And that's the reason why. Who is it that can say a thing and it comes to pass when God is not the one that has said it? Every time you lay hold on what God has said about you, you fight a good warfare. Every time you hold on to God's word, God's revelation of who you really are, the devil knows that you are already gone in his sight. He cannot defeat you. The only time Satan defeats a man
is the very moment it can change the man's perception of who he is. The day you stop seeing yourself in the light of who you are in Christ, forget it. And that's why, whether you are a minister, whether you are a believer, regardless of the level you are, please don't take your eyes away from Christ. As I was praying concerning this discussion, a verse of scripture that kept popping in my spirit was Hebrews 12 verse 2. As a believer, keep your eyes on that verse daily. A time will come in ministry, you will be lifted in ministry. Please don't take your eye away from this verse. A time will come, you will be blessed as a woman with kids. Please don't take your eye from this verse. A time will come, you will be blessed in your place of job. Like Joseph, you will be lifted to a seat that is so high. Please don't take your eye away from this verse. Regardless of where you get to in life, regardless of whatever you become, please don't take your eye away from this verse. Because in case you don't know, you think that the devil only uses pressure to tempt people. No, the devil doesn't only use pressure. He also uses the beauty of this life. Satan will use money to tempt you. And there is only one question that post is asking you. Who are you? There is only one question that achievement is asking you. Who are you? There is only one question your academic qualification is asking you. Who are you? The day you tie your life to those things, that day you leave your place of honor. I want you to bow your head as we begin to pray. Oh Jesus, open my eyes to see wondrous things. I want to see who I am. I want to see who I am. Please allow me to say this. Coming to a place of perfect understanding of who you are is a revelation. That is the reason why you come to church. That is the reason why you are praying and fasting. We are only doing what we are doing for three reasons. Number one is to come to a perfect understanding of who we are. Number two is to come to a perfect understanding of the purpose we were created. And then number three, to understand the time and season that we are in. These are the three reasons we do everything called spirituality. To know who I am. So once again, briefly, can you go ahead and begin a prayer? And say, Lord, open my eyes by your spirit in me. I strip myself of all false views of my life. Every flawed view, whatever way I have embraced life that is flawed, whatever way I have followed my life that is flawed, I have defined myself too much from the mistakes of my past. No way, Lord, I come to you. I ask for mercy. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to know who I am. I want to see who I am. In the name of Jesus, how will you allow your failures to define you? How will you allow your disappointments to define you? I know you fell yesterday. I know you fell some months ago. But listen to me. You must sit up and tell yourself that's not who you are. Stop allowing your circumstances to define you. I know you have made mistakes in so many ways. I know you have lived a life that doesn't even look like the person you really thought you were. But listen to me. Your mistakes should not define you. Your past should not define you. Your failures should not define you. Your successes should not define you. There is a life that you have been called to live. No wonder Apostle Paul said, I press. Whether I have one soul, I press. Whether I get saved and save two souls, I don't stop there. I press. The life of the believer is a pressing life. Stop allowing yesterday to define you. That's why as long as we're on this earth, we cannot actually define success. Because as long as God's purpose has not been finished, we can't define success. Apostle Paul did not say, I have finished all the course. He only said, I have finished my course. Because he understood that it was only a little part of a bigger picture. The day you start seeing yourself as a little part of a bigger picture, you will be more humble. You will be more loving. You will be more serious with the things of the Spirit. The reason why right now you thought you have arrived is because you thought it's all about you. How will I say I have arrived where there are still unsaved souls out there? How will I say I have arrived where there are still people that are ignorant? How will I say I have arrived when the gospel of the kingdom has not reached all the nation? It doesn't matter how many people are doing it. What matters
matters to me is my portion in the plan. What matters to me is my identity in the purpose. What matters to me is my identity in the purpose. What matters to me is my purpose in the plan. What happens to me is my timing in the plan and in the purpose. This is how life is for us. This is the circle of life to us. That's why we don't want to get to a point where we thought we have arrived. Because it's not about me. It's about me in Christ. It's not about you. It's about you in Christ. Stop seeing yourself isolatively. It's not about you. Come on, it's not about you. It's about you in Christ. It's about you in Christ. It's about you in Christ. Oh, that this will dawn on you. My brothers and sisters, wherever you are hearing the sound of my voice, can you take some time out and begin to pray and say, Lord, I strip myself of every flawed view of myself. I strip myself of every wrong ideology of life and myself. I take my eyes from my achievement. I take my life from my pursuit. The reason why, for some of us, we settle quickly, too quickly, we become comfortable too early, is because to us it's all about what we have achieved. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. He got to a point in his life and he said, "Oh great Babylon that my hands have built. Ah, you are not the builder. Please, you are not. You are only in alignment to a work that we have leave you. Stop thinking you can achieve this thing. You are only a part, a fragment of a whole. If you were wise enough, all you will do is to go to God and say, God, in this plan, in this purpose, where do I fit? In this life, who am I? Stop living your life by your background. Stop living your life by the circumstances of your birth. I know, like Jabez, they have given you a name, but please stop it. You don't have that name. There is only one name, and that's the name you have been named in Christ. That's the name you have been named in Christ. I find my identity from Christ. Kato siata. Breketekelepo siata balaya. My identity is in Christ. My identity is in Christ. It's not in things. Jesus did not die for things. Jesus died for you. Your identity is in who Christ is. You should be thinking about who you are in Christ, not what you have done or what you have not done. Stop thinking about what you have done or what you have not done. Stop putting yourself under unnecessary pressure. The only identity you need is the identity in Christ. Because when you come to that identity, that's when you will take up the ministry of reconciliation. That's when you will take up the assignment. That's when you will do it the way He wants. The reason why life is like a struggle to you is because you are trying to meet up. You are trying to live up the expectation of men. Go ahead and begin to pray and say, Lord, I strip myself of every wrong expectation, every wrong contest. Some of you have made some statement that by this time, by that time, this is what I will be. And right now, it's not looking like what God is saying. And you are finding it difficult to reconcile God's purpose with the statements you have made. And now, like Saul, you have become so proud. You don't want to shift base. You have become so cautious of your own plans. But go ahead and pray and say, Lord, I strip myself of every wrong boasting. Some of us, we have boasted. Some of us, we have boasted. Boasted before our family members that by this time, by this year, this is what I will be. And right now, because you are trying to use it to define a wrong view of yourself, it's as if God is opposing every of it. Because the Bible says He opposes the proud, but He embraces the humble. Can you humble yourself right now and say, Lord, I come to you. I am sorry. I have had too many plans. I have had too many purposes. But I have come right now to say, Lord, I abandon them all for that one purpose, for that one plan that you have had for me. In Jesus' name we pray. The greatest attack on destiny is not sin. I know you were told it's sin. Listen to me. The greatest attack on destiny is not sin. The greatest attack on destiny is self. Every time self is magnified, self becomes an impediment to God's agenda. And the destiny of self is the cross. And that's the reason why, not until you abandon the ideology of who you are, you cannot embrace the reality of who you are in Christ. Can I say that again? Not until you abandon the ideologies, the concepts you have about yourself, for the realities of who you are in Christ, you can never amount to anything. I'll say this to you. The reason you are going through certain times and seasons is so that God will strip you of those ideologies. By the time we start talking about times and seasons, I will show to you that the reason why any man goes through times and seasons is to attain clarity in purpose. And it includes God taking away your plans. I know you are not dull. You are not a daft now. Look at you. You graduated with a good grade. And right now, God is telling you, stay there. And to everybody, including your parents, is foolishness. But you know that it's just for a time and a season. And to arrive at that point where you can completely bow to the will of God is what times and seasons now do. But the Bible says, he said, a time will come when you will stretch your hands and another will lead you. Wherever you are right now, in the calmness of your heart, I wanted to bow your head and with the silence of voice in your heart and say, Lord, help me to bow to your will. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. I am tired of struggling with you. I see people in counseling, in communication. I see people, even believers, still struggling to arrive at that point when they can accept that all they are is who they are in Christ. They are still struggling. They are still struggling. But wherever you are, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost reaching you right now, turning you around, bringing you to your knees, telling you that your life is not your own. Romans chapter 14, I think verse 7, he said, whether we live for Christ. Whether we die for him. It means our existence is defined by Christ. So right now, wherever you are, and say, Lord, I submit. I surrender. I submit. No, you are not giving your life to Christ. You are receiving his life from him. Say, I submit to you, Jesus. Today, I want to live for you. I want to live for you. I'm tired of living my own life. You have been pressing your own buttons. You have been plotting your own graphs. You have been scheming your own schemes. Are you not tired? Have you not wondered why everything you are doing, nothing seems to be working? Are you not wise enough to know that there is a path that is of God? And because he has chosen not to give you the bread of adversity, he's waiting for you to come and pick that voice that will say, this is the way, walk in it. Oh, Father, I surrender. I submit. I surrender. I like that song. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. I give myself away. I am tired of defining my life, oh God. I thought when I graduate, I would have more meaning to existence. I thought when I get married, I will have more meaning to existence. I thought when I get more money, I will have more meaning to life. But I have come to realize that all of those are not the perfect parameters to measure life. So I am coming to you to take your life, because that's where life is defined. I know when I have you, I have every other thing. I know when I have you, I have meaning to every other thing. Brother and sister, wherever you are, say with me, I surrender to you, Lord. Take all of me. Give meaning to my definition. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you praise. Your eyes are open. Oh, I pray for you. Wherever you are, can you place your hands on your eyes? I pray for you that your eyes are opened. You no longer see yourself in the light of your past. You no longer define yourself by your positions.
You no longer define yourself by your successes. You no longer define yourselves by your accomplishment. You no longer define yourself by what you have and what you don't have. But in the name of Jesus, you begin to define yourself from the revelation of who you are in Christ. You begin to define yourself from your portion in God's portion. You begin to define yourself from your portion in God's portion. And that portion is that you are the object of His love. If Christ is the object of faith, you are the object of God's love. Go ahead and begin to pray and say, Lord, I see myself in this reality. I strip myself of all the vague visions, all the vague ideologies I have about myself. I submit to you, Jesus. I submit to you, Jesus. I see myself from the lens of who you are. Now, Lord, walk with me. Walk with me. Live with me. Cause me to walk in you. So that every veil will be removed. So that I can see like a mirror. I can behold steadfastly. And I can be changed. Thank you, Jesus. Because from today, my life makes sense. Because I live it in the reality of who you are. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your time. We shall be back again for the part 3 of this discussion. And for now, I want you to know that the goodness and mercy of God is with you because you are born for a season and a time such as this. Live and walk in light. Take charge in Jesus' name. God bless you.